Let the Eurovision Song Contest begin!
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome back to the Deux Poids podcast for Deux news on this beautiful Friday, May the 6th, 2022. My name is Jack. This is my co-host, Liz, who you will remember carried the show all by herself very fantastically last week.
Oh, hello, my back is still sore from the weight carrying this podcast all by myself. But can I be the first to say, it's alive! You're alive, Jack! You kicked COVID in the balls. Well done and welcome back.
Thank you, thank you. It wasn't as terrible as you might think because I wasn't on the show, but my voice was absolutely just knackered all week last week. So luckily, I had all my vaccines, I had my booster, so that really just, it was a great help in not getting really bad COVID, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm very grateful for that. But yeah, it just kind of knocked me around a little bit.
The slightly awkward thing is, dear listeners, Jack sounded exactly as he sounds right now. He doesn't actually realize this is his voice. Nobody tell him. I don't have the heart to tell him.
Am I that screeching noise on every episode of Deux Poids? I'm like, what is that high-pitched wailing? Can't stand it.
Oh, my Lord. I'm so glad that you feel better. Like, has anything dropped off? Did anything drop off, drop in, drop out?
No, everything was pretty much the same, actually.
Oh.
I started off with a bit of a sore throat. Uh-huh. Next night, I did have a mild fever.
Yeah.
But once that fever broke, it was just coughing for a few days, and now I'm back to normal.
Bit, so bit of a
if
spicy
you're not
cough.
Fully vaccinated, a little bit of spice.
You kind of feel like a bit of a letdown, after all the hype of the COVID. Are you a bit like, this wasn't the grand experience that I was hoping for?
You know what? I absolutely don't feel that way at all. It was quite weird. It was quite surreal, though, because you spend 2 years being told, it's coming.
Yeah.
And it's quite daunting and scary that it's out there.
Yeah.
Then I got it and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I have COVID-19, you know, it's like a real thing, you know?
Yeah, but you've got COVID-19 in 2022. It's a bit blasé, Jack.
It is very blasé.
It's a little bit 3 years ago.
880 days after it started, I finally got on the bandwagon.
Do you think you got the real genuine COVID, or you just got like, ironically, the wish version?
I don't know.
Because it was just so mild and unimpressive.
It was very mild. But again, I'm not going to attribute that to anything wrong with the virus. I'm sure the virus was doing its bloody best to take over, but I do attribute it all to the vaccine.
I don't think it's listening, Jack. I don't think.
We can't lose the COVID audience. We cannot.
No, you know what? Fuck you, COVID. Fuck you. You're a jerk. I'm saying it. I don't care what anyone says. And I will not keep your name out of my mouth. You're a jerk. You hear me, COVID? A jerk. See me outside. What do you think about that? We'll go viral now. Ha ha.
Oh, pun intended. Yeah. Just do go get your vaccines. Honestly, they're magic science.
And then get your booster.
And then get your booster as well if you haven't yet.
Do you know what I did today? I got in one arm, I got my booster, and in the other arm, I got my flu vax. Yay! Come at me, bro.
Can they do that?
Yeah.
I thought you had to wait like 2 weeks.
Nah, the internet said, get on it, dude.
All right, cool.
The internet wouldn't lie.
No, never has, never will. Hey, Eurovision, woo! This is what we're here for. It is a week and a half away. Rehearsals have begun. And I think that's where we should probably start, because there is a lot to talk about with Eurovision rehearsals this year.
What? What's happening?
Okay, now you've seen the stage design for Turin, of course, right? It had those big, beautiful arches that spun around and were all theatrical.
Yep.
Well, they're stuck.
Oh.
They're stuck backwards.
Oh.
Without LEDs on them.
Oh.
And they cannot be moved.
What?
And they will not be moving them.
But just get a crowbar in. Give them
nope.
Get a bit of WD-40.
But here's the thing. They will turn around the LEDs for the interval act performances, But for the actual contestants, they will be using the black solid side that has some basic lights on it, like stage lights, not like LEDs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it looks atrocious.
What do you mean? Like, if they've got a week and a half, how can't they get someone, like, get Jim's fix it in? Like, if they need some numbers, I'll get the Yellow Pages. Like, I'm sure we can find somebody. You know what? It's a week and a half. We can fly in some electricians from Australia. We'll get it sorted, mate.
The thing is, though, it's clearly not that they can't do it because they're going to turn these things around for the interval acts. I think they're just worried that if they turn it around for the actual performers and it breaks down, they won't be able to use it for anyone else. So they've just decided no one is using it. They won't even turn it around, keep it solid, and just have the LED screens. They're just going to not have the LED screens. And Liz, you will be stunned. It looks so bad.
But people spend their whole year around getting the whole stage as one big part. What if that was the key part of your performance? Like, that's where your doves were exploding from, or, you know, what do you do with a week and a half out? You have to change your whole stage production.
So this has actually been a major thing. Lithuania especially really wanted to use the moving archways to kind of, you know, like make it like the sun and all that kind of stuff. Ukraine, obviously the big favorites this year, actually rehearsed, I think it was yesterday or today.
Yeah.
And their backdrop is, well, I don't know if you want to hear this because it might be a little bit of a spoiler, but it is a crying face with the eyes dripping tears. And the eyes were meant to drip tears down onto the stage that then flood onto the LEDs on the floor and make like an ocean of tears.
Oh, that would be amazing.
The problem is they've got the backing stage, but you can barely see the eyes because of this giant rainbow-shaped kind of black sun that blocks it all. I mean, I'm sure it'll still be effective. Everyone knows Ukraine are going to win the televote by 100 million points. Like,
because it's an excellent song. But yes, continue.
We will debate this later. But yeah, it just seems like such an oversight. Everyone made jokes about, oh, remember Italy in 1991? That was a clusterfuck. Turns out it's still a clusterfuck in 2022.
I find this ridiculous. Just, oh, we're a bit worried, so we're just not going to run it. No, this is your big night. You have a week and a half to just test the shit. You know what? Yeah, it's not just a week and a half. You've had a year to get this shit up and running and have it working like an oiled machine. This is, I'm not happy about this.
I'm also not happy about it. None of the contestants are happy about it. It's just, it's become a big, I don't know what the word is for it.
Embarrassment.
It's a big embarrassment. It's a blot on RAI for not being able to put this together correctly. You know?
Do you think that they've just been telling people that they're going to leave it so that there'll be some big drama so then everyone will be more impressed when it actually moves in the semifinal?
Yes, under promise, over deliver.
Exactly. I cannot give her any more, Captain. I cannot give her any more as a Scotsman thumps it.
Now, here is another thing that, with rehearsals that you might have an opinion on. Obviously, Italy is sending Mahmoud and Blanco with the song Brevity. Yep. I'm sure you've heard Brevity already. There is some controversy. Oh. In fact, let's play it. There's a little bit of
controversy, controversy, controversy.
Because Blanco will not be at the first rehearsal because he has touring commitments in other cities.
What?
Now, people are saying, this is Eurovision. This isn't just like another date on your touring calendar.
Yeah.
You should be there to make sure you're representing your country right. It's really irking a lot of people that this guy is going to tour elsewhere and then just show up kind of right before it starts. He'll be at the second rehearsals, apparently. So there is like, you know, it's not like he's actually just phoning it in until the night. But yeah, it irks people.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. I mean, it could seriously affect their performance. Because the reason that you have the, and it's not just about, oh, we'll practice it if you don't know, you know, the lyrics or your steps by now. It's about checking the levels, like getting the levels for the microphone ready for what they have to set your microphones for your performance. And the reason that you have the second one is that you test the adjustments that you've made after the first one. So essentially what you're doing is you're getting up there after, oh, only one shot. We're going to adjust it. We think this will sound better, but we're not 100%. Who's happy yes. with that? This is your once in a lifetime shot, unless of course it is goes on to be your second, third, and fourth and fifth shot.
Unless you become the Italian Corolla, this might be one of your few shots. Or apparently Mahmood, who's back anyway, for the second time. So yeah, that is wrinkling a few noses. Both those pieces of information is wrinkling a few noses. So,
well, speaking about the Mahmood and Blanco's performance, remember before you got sick, we had a little poll on our podcast because there was rumors about something, you know, special and extraordinary going to happen in the Italian performance.
That's right.
That they wanted to save for the grand final. What did our listeners suggest with? Did they guess it? What did they come up with?
Of course, we had some rather standard guesses, I'd say, in the form of they're going to jump in the pool at the end. They're going to kiss each other. There were some more outlandish ones, my favorite of which, of course, was jetpacks.
Oh!
There will be jetpacks on the Eurovision stage, which is a bit weird.
I would vote for that. How good would that be, though? Especially if you're shitty, take your mind off the shitty LEDs.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that. So, yeah, there were some rather outlandish. You're not going to tell us what the actual news was?
Okay, this is not this isn't news. This isn't an announcement of what they're secretly actually going to do. This was just, you know, the rumor behind, you know, bit of gossip. You and me, you know, just around the water cooler. The rumor was that making a bold statement for LGBTQIA.
At least you got the L and the G in the right order. I'll take it as a win.
This was going to I believe it was suggested that this was going to be the first time that there was going to be a gay man-on-man passionate kiss on the Eurovision stage. Because, of course, we've seen, you know, the ladies kissing before, and that caused some controversy for two uncles and a granddad. when, of course, you know, it happened with Madame Baby. At the end, she surprised us all. She married the bartender lady.
Yep.
So they had a bit old smoocheroony. But I actually can't remember two men kissing before on the Eurovision stage.
Two men kissed during when Sweden hosted in 2013.
But that was in the crowd.
Yeah, no. That was in the interval act with Pietra when she did her Swedish smorgasbord, and she dressed up as an ordained minister and went, "I now pronounce you, blah blah blah, you may kiss the groom."
Ah.
And then they kissed each other. Lithuania, a couple of years after that, had two same-sex kisses, one of which was man on man, It's just a weird way of saying it. But yeah. It has been done before, but I don't think it's ever been done quite the way these guys might be planning on doing it.
In like a big grandiose, like as in it's the two main stars at the end of the film. They come together and have a proper don't do that in front of your mum and dad after you've said your vows kind of kiss. We don't want to see tongue. And that's not because you're gay. It's just because, you know, you're time and place. You know, time and place. There's a time and place. I don't want to see other people's tongues when they make out. That's all I'm saying. It's gross. Unless I'm watching your porn, I don't want to watch. I don't want to see your tongue. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think there's a bit of a weirdness around it because there is quite an age gap between the two of them? I mean, there's not a huge age gap, but Mahmood is 29 and Blanco is 19. Is that like half your age plus seven?
See, I think you're missing the whole cornerstone that is Italian presenters and Italian couples, where it literally is the world's oldest man with the youngest, hottest supermodel that he can find. That is a relationship couple goal. So if anything, I think the controversy will be Italians will find there's not enough of an age difference.
Right. They're going to have to put, like, an elderly filter on Mahmood.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to have to
smear the camera in Vaseline.
They're going to have to age him up so much for, like, Italy to get on board. I think that will be the only controversy for Italy.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much all of the interesting stuff about the rehearsals. Otherwise, they're going pretty fine. I mean, the only person that's really not screwed over by this giant sun is Cornelia from Sweden, because she brought her own, you know, the big disc thingy that she was performing with at Melody Festival.
Oh, my God.
They brought that, and so it doesn't really matter to her all that much.
Oh, my God, stop overachieving, Sweden. Seriously. Just like, I don't need your stage. I picked up my own stage from IKEA. Fucking Sweden. Every time, man, put your Allen key away and just do with the stage like the rest of us. I don't know.
All right, it's time to talk about the odds, because they've barely moved. You know we like to talk about these on occasion. Actually, if anything, Ukraine looks more likely than ever to win it. I've never seen a country this far ahead in the odds. 44% as of last checking, which I'm absolutely certain will go up above 50 before the end of the contest.
That is amazing.
Yeah, definitely there are, look, people out there are getting very upset about it. There are a lot of elements at play. It's in my top 10. It's one of my favorite songs. It's the one that gets stuck in my head most.
Yeah.
And I love it. I do understand why people can get frustrated by it, because, like, oh, don't make Eurovision political, but Eurovision's always been political.
Everything about it is political. Like, oh, my God, we've just banned Russia. Don't tell us it's not political.
Yeah, exactly. I think there are elements of, look, why did my country, you know, people out there are saying, why did my country bother to spend all this money and put in all this time and write this song and do this whole process when almost like a talking cat could have won? Actually, you know what?
Talking cat's
a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, I would vote for that.
But you could put, you know, like John Smith in front of a microphone, tapping the spoon on the back of his hand.
Yeah.
And Ukraine would probably win the televote anyway. I see why there's a lot of strong feelings about it.
I think there are a lot of people who want to, you know, may have a feeling of, you know, I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the world outside of Russia or Belarus who doesn't stand with the Ukraine, you know, let's just say it. But at the same time, I mean, this is a song contest. And we've seen this before. You know, there have been other countries that, you know, we have, you know, seen countries that have competed while they were at war. You know, not everybody voted for them. They didn't automatically win. And I find it kind of annoying that, like, there are a lot of people just saying, oh, it's just, you know, if they win, it's just a pity vote. It's a pity vote. And I find that, like, you're just dismissing what is a great song and all the effort and time that they've put into this performance, you know. So I think that does it a bit of disservice, and you're right. I think it's people who know their country isn't gonna win are just trying to already line up their ducks to blame. It's like the writers of Cliff Richard. Oh, it's only because of, you know, Franco, blah blah blah, that we lost. This was better. It's like, oh look, it's just calm down and just know the juries are wrong.
Yeah, but you gotta admit there it is, it's a fine song. It is a catchy song, but there is always going to be an element of this sympathy vote towards Ukraine as a show of solidarity that will alter a song that on its own I don't really think would ever have won Eurovision. I think it's fun.
Oh, I disagree.
I think if Shum didn't win in 2021, then Stefania doesn't really stand a chance in 2022. I really think you're conflating a song you like with a good song, and we all know your taste in music is kind of terrible.
No, I like it because I think it's catchy, and I think it does actually sort of tug at my little heartstrings a little bit with the Stefania and the whole of children and their mothers and their mothers and their children and die. It kind of, it gets you a bit, like, and you know me, I don't get emotional often unless there's a naked man.
Or a cat.
Or a cat.
Or a vegan sandwich. Or a vegan dessert, or a vegan cat.
Or Chris Isaac, but or Sakis Ruvas. But apart from then, I don't get emotional. But yeah, no, I like it. I think it's a good song. I think...
Oh, I agree with you. I just think, I think it would be naive to assume there isn't some kind of political element to the success of Ukraine should they win.
Well, look, yeah, but then the same thing could be said, you know, it's like, you know, the, you know, we've said this before, you know, people win Oscars not for that performance, but for, you know, the performance that they didn't win for. You could say the same things about Mahmood. You know, if he wins, is he really winning because of this song, or is it a sympathy vote because of, you know, Saldi, Saldi? You know?
Can't not do the clap, and you can't. As soon as you hear the clap, you're going to go with it. I agree. Well, you know what? We'll see what happens. A lot of people are saying they really don't see Ukraine winning either, so I don't know. In second place, obviously still Italy, but by the barest of margins, Sweden have caught up into second place, or about just below in third place. The UK, very popular now. Is still sitting in fourth ahead of Spain. This is weird and new.
Yeah.
Greece have shot up the odds, which I think was always going to happen because I think it's a really good song that really just needed to be seen by a wider audience before people liked it. So we'll see what happens.
Why didn't you tell me they were sending Sakis Ruvas?
They are not sending Sakis Ruvas. Sakis Ruvas actually died 114 years ago.
Don't you even say that. He is a god. He will never. He will never. He will outlive us all, as he well should.
And now, with the odds done and dusted behind us, wild predictions for 2022, our last topic for the night. What do you think is going to happen?
Actually, before we go into the wild predictions,
yes.
Do you want to, let's start a new segment, which is wild theories about the true meanings of songs.
I love it. Let's go with that instead. I'm happy to go wherever we go.
Oh, my Lord. So I love reading, you know, craziness on the internet. Let's just say some people have taken a more profound interpretation of one of this year's songs, which may appear at the beginning to be kind of a novelty song.
Uh-huh.
I am, of course, talking about Subwoofer and Give That Wolf a Banana. People have been expressing on the internet that this is not just a song about yellow dancing bananas. This song is actually sung through the eyes of animals that share the planet with human beings.
Right.
And their constant fear that the ravenous, hungry wolf that just keeps eating without thinking, blood ripping from their teeth, is in fact human beings. And when they're singing about that wolf is going to eat my banana, they're talking about human beings and their mass consumption of animals on the planet and the terror that they live in being surrounded by these big-teethed wolves, which is us.
That's an interesting take. I had heard the take that it's about coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And before that wolf eats my grandma, give that wolf a banana. The banana being the vaccine.
Uh-huh.
The wolf being it, the...
Well, this interpretation was when they were saying give this wolf a banana, basically what they're saying is give this, you know, ravenous meat eater, give them a plant-based diet. Literally, give them fruits and vegetables so they'll stop eating my family.
Keeping it ultra liminal.
Yeah. So, and I was like, oh my Lord, that haunted me to my core. And now I went back and I'm listening to like Give That Wolf a Banana and I'm like, oh my God, 100%, I'm on board. And that's all I can hear now is the terror in little lambs when they see these wolves are coming.
Delightful.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Spain song is about watching a video in slow-mo. But that's about as wild a prediction as I can make. I don't know why, guys. I'm just kind of feeling that vibe.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched the Swedish one. The Spanish one. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
That reminds me, next week, we got more to talk about with Spain.
Oh, we have a lot to talk about. In fact, speaking of next week, we are not going to be here next Friday because it'll be right in the smack bang middle of Eurovision week. And for a multitude of reasons, it's just not going to work publishing next Friday because Liz won't have seen either of the semifinals, which means we won't really be able to talk about any news between then and the final because, I mean...
We live in Australia, goddammit! We live in Australia! Why are we at Eurovision? We live in Australia.
So the new... plan is that we will be launching next week's episode on Tuesday, right before the first semi-final goes live.
The last bit of gossip, the last bit of news, the last bit of excitement. Has Italy got its shit together?
Exactly. So we'll be right there at that last little part of time before Eurovision kicks off. And then no episode Friday because we'll be in the middle of Eurovision season. Uh-huh. But we will be back the following Monday, which is like a day and a half after Eurovision.
Uh-huh.
So we can recap. Liz and I will watch it on Sunday night in Australia. I know it's kind of weird. I get up at 5 a.m. and watch it live. Then Liz wakes up at about 4 p.m. and rolls herself to Bob's place and is fed a bunch of vegan cheeses and alcohol and watches it Sunday night. So we'll be back next Tuesday and then Monday the 16th of May to recap everything that went down at Eurovision. Are you excited, Liz?
Oh, my Lord. I'm so excited. I don't know if there are enough bananas to give this wolf.
On that note, we'll see you in just 4 days. Ooh. That's how close Eurovision is. 4 days. If you don't follow us on socials, jump on there because we're so excited we may melt.
I know. And if you're some kind of like electrician or you work in like props or electronics, maybe just give the Italian government a call. They could have a job for you. Big job. Hush, hush. Give them a call.
Love you. Good night.